Now, David was a shepherd of sheep. And he said he had to fight a lion and he had to fight a bear because they've come and take the sheep. And sheep get lost because they get swayed and deceived to leave a flock. They make commitments and don't fulfill because they believe God is telling them something different, but God never interrupts himself. Never interrupts himself. And in this, one of the things that happens is because reasoning and justification come, which is nothing but a lie. See, when you have to reason and justify, you're lying. And you've come in agreement with the voice of the stranger that's telling you something different than what you're supposed to be doing. Then what happens is the reason why individuals then begin to fall out of fellowship and wherever they are is because they don't want to be accountable. And accountability is what will keep you. See, you must be, you're the light, so you must walk in the light. Once you begin to walk in darkness, something's wrong. In other words, once you begin to justify why and well, I'm this, well, I'm tired. You know, people begin to reason, justify, I'm tired. You know, I worked all week. Why should I go to service? Because it's your life. Because one of the things the enemy loves to do is to slowly move people out of the flock, then eat them up. And I share this with you because the Bible says, for what much is given, much is accountable for, and much is required. So there are pros and cons. You know, we all want great things and mysteries of God to be revealed, but there is a price to pay. And that is to keep them and to stay plugged in. The Bible says it is good for brethren to dwell together because there is a special corporate anointing that comes. And God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I asked Wade today just to look up some stuff on the internet to see where people have gone who did not fulfill or fell out of fellowship. Because it usually only takes a couple of weeks. One person has got sentenced to 4 years in prison. Another one got sentenced to 2 years in prison. One just got picked up Sunday for breaking and entering, another one, two other people who just left, one who completed the 9 months and rejected counsel and took a younger brother with him, are now in jail in Osceola County for kidnapping and burglary. See, once you walk away from the protection, once the fear of God is removed, it's because the presence is removed. When you reject the counsel of the Lord, you walk away from God's presence and you are wide open. The next thing you begin to do is justify. And what usually the enemy will do is trip you up. And sometimes God will allow certain things to happen. What happens is the devil wants you to sow in the flesh. It's by rejecting the counsel of the Lord, rejecting and not fulfilling vows. And what happens is he knows that it ties the hands of God in your life. Then it begins to sway us with certain things. The next thing you know, you're touching something unclean. You don't even realize. It starts with a thought that begins to manifest other places. It starts with a little injury, pain pills. Then one thing leads to another. It starts with hanging around somewhere you shouldn't be. See, as soon as he can sway you away from the body of Christ, he'll get you. And that's what's some of the things that are happening right now. So what Richie was sharing about staying plugged in, you know, the devil always tries to justify. You know, we minister in the jail too, and there are guys and people that I know they're supposed to be in a discipleship, and they want to do it, and then right at the end they make a decision, or they don't want to be involved in a flock, or they reason, they go, well, there's a place I want to go to. Yeah, I'm going to go. My mother's a pastor of a church. Yeah, right. Or whatever, or you know what I'm saying? And they begin to justify certain things that I know automatically what's going to happen. And I'll be doing a class in jail, and 2 weeks later they're back. Hey, how was church? Usually I say, welcome home.
Oh, man.
What, no, you really want to be here, don't you? You know. So I just want to encourage you, because tonight's teaching is called The Flood and the Fire. And like I said, the theme is the enemy tries to sway people out of fellowship and then justify. And once you begin to reason and justify, reasoning is the guillotine of faith. And the faith is in the Word. The faith is in what He said. The faith is in His promises. It's in Him. Then we begin to work in our own strength. We begin to do our own works. And we begin to do our own ministry in the flesh, not in the Spirit. And we begin to go around and share with everybody, oh, Jesus loves you, while we're doing wrong things. Because that reasoning and justification starts to come where it says if you share Jesus with people, then you're doing good works. See, but you're not saved by works. See, you must work out your own salvation. The first thing it says is fear. And the second thing is trembling. Amen? Fear meaning the reverence of God. Once you lose the reverence of God and you lose the fear of God, you lose His presence. And it's because you touched something unclean that's gone. Something has happened somewhere. You've touched in your mind. You haven't fulfilled. You broke a vow. Whatever it may be. And we are at a critical, critical time. Because there's been more demonic activity released. The fight is greater. It's not getting easier. And it will not get easier. And if you think the world's going to get better, you're an idiot. Because it's not. It's going to get worse. But your light will shine as long as you're walking in the light. But once you step in darkness, it will... Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Which turns to the book of Joel, chapter 2. The book of Joel. Let's go to Joel's place. In chapter 2. And in verse 21. Well, let's start at 18. While we're there. Would you read it with me? Then the Lord will be zealous for His land and pity His people. The Lord will answer and say to His people, behold, I will send you grain, new wine, and oil. Grain, new wine, and oil. Yes. Grain represents revelation, word. New wine represents refreshing and pouring out of the Spirit. And oil represents power. And you will be satisfied by them, and I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive him away into a barren and desolate land with his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea. His stench will come up and his foul order will rise because he has done monstrous things. And there is a stench in the earth right now. It's a stench of wickedness. And it's a stench of lust and perversion. 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up. And the tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion. You know that you are the children of Zion. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for He has given you the former rain faithfully. And He will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat. And the vats shall overflow with new wine and what? And oil. Now I want to share something with you, what the rain is. The former and the latter rain, are you hearing? Is the flood and the fire. The two rains represent the flood and the fire. Go to Psalm 29. The former and the latter rain. the flood and the fire. Did it not rain for a flood? And did it not rain fire? And this is where we're at right now. In Psalm 29, in verse 8. Ooh. The voice of the Lord what? Shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the what? Flood. In other words, he saw it, he did it, and he had dominion over it. The Lord sits as a king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with his peace. So you see here that the Lord sat at his throne during the flood. In other words, it was a representation of judgment. The Bible says that judgment will come into the house of God before he judges the world. And we are in judgment. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. God is judging his people. That's why there is people falling left and right, because they're being taken out by the floods. 2 Peter chapter 2. There is more divorce. There is more people falling. The Bible says in the latter days many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They'll have a form of godliness but deny the power. In other words, it'll be real religious. See, falling from the faith means falling from the will of God. It doesn't mean that you don't believe Jesus is Savior. It means falling from the will of God. Why? Because you are to what? Walk by faith and not by sight. Is everybody there? 2 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 1. But there will also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into what? Ashes. Condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitary, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Now this is powerful, because he just talked about the flood and the fire, didn't he? He just talked about the flood and the fire as what? Judgment. As what? Judgment. He utilized it as an example of judgment. Now we know that the first rain was the flood, right? It removed man because of sin. Jesus came to remove sin because of man. Hello? Did everybody get it? Remember, the first flood came, God destroyed man, didn't he? So he removed man because of sin, and Jesus came to remove sin because of man, because of his love for man. In 2 Peter chapter 3, while we're here, in verse 10. Would you read it with me, please? But the day of the Lord will come as a what? Thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be what? Burned up. See, the first judgment started with the flood, didn't it? The end. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The last judgment will be with fire. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in a holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for what? New heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Keep going. Therefore, beloved, look forward to these things. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know these beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So the last judgment will be fire, won't it? And everything's going to burn, even the heavens. Everything's going to be brand new. But the first one was with the flood. That's why Jesus again said, I am the beginning, the end, and the Alpha and Omega. Turn to Matthew 7, please. The flood and the fire. Those are the two rains. How many of you all know we're in a flood? Amen. It's happening. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who what? Does the will of my Father in heaven. Do you understand that? That's why the Bible says many will fall from the faith. Why? Because they're not doing the will of God. They're doing their own thing. You know how much New Age has infiltrated the body of Christ? It's incredible. Where people, they think they can just do their own thing and call it God when it's not God. The Bible says those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. There's much ministry in the flesh and not the Spirit. Because of not enough accountability. And not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, God knows what people do behind closed doors. You can play all holy out in front, but whatever you're doing behind closed doors, you will be judged for, and you will be accountable for it. Because what you sow is what you what? Reap. And he who sows to the flesh will reap what? Three things that you give the devil access to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. You will reap one of those things. You must. It's the word of God. So when you sow to the flesh, something's going to be stolen. Something's going to be killed. See, what happens is the devil comes to steal the seed, he comes to kill the will of God, and he comes to destroy you. I guess we can go maybe a little further. What do you think? Verse 24. Are you reading it with me? Let's read it. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? Does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain what? Oh, here it comes. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the what? Rock. In other words, its foundation did not shake. It was right. It was solid. It was not a foundation of flesh. The foundation is settled with the anointing. That's God's presence. See, if your foundation... Now, I know sometimes we don't understand this. But when Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, you are the Christ. And the Lord said, and on this rock I will build my church. In other words, that rock, word rock meant revelation. I will build my church. First of all, Christ means anointed one, and is anointing representation of the Messiah. But it's English is called anointed one or anointing. Are you hearing me? So your foundation is actually built on the anointing of God Almighty. The foundation, it's like where the concrete is laid. And then the Word begins to build the rest of the building. See, so many people are trying to build their foundation on memorization. It don't work. It's built on relationship. Where the anointing is, solid foundation. There are people who do not know the Word very well, but they are solid with relationship, because the fear of God is with them all the time, because the presence of God. So your foundation is actually the anointing. But there are a lot of people trying to do third floor ministry on a first floor foundation, and it crumbles, because God didn't send them to do that. They did it. They pray for someone, they get healed, and they go, phew.
Oh, I have a healing ministry.
Or they cast out, they cast out a devil out of themselves. I have a deliverance ministry. Well, we're all supposed to lay hands on the sick and cast out devils, aren't we? That is a part of our ministry. I mean, no matter where you go, somebody's sick, you're not going to go, oh my God. What do I do? You lay your hands on it, cast the devil out, and you thank God. You don't wait. Don't dial 911. Do that after you pray for them. If they ain't up yet, then dial 911 and go back and pray. First dial G-O-D. So in this, you know, the devil's very sly. He knows exactly how to move an individual out of position. Just because you prophesied once doesn't make you a prophet. Do you understand that? That's the gifts of the Spirit. There's a difference between the gifts and the offices. There are ministries that are set up for healing, aren't they? There are ministries itself that are set up to deal with certain things, whether it be addiction, whether it be... sickness, disease, whatever. God has set in place certain specific things where they move stronger with the anointing. Do you understand that? See why? Because that's the foundation that's been set by God, not by a man. And then with that foundation, there are specific gifts that God's given. In other words, with that office, to fulfill what He has called you for. So if you move off that foundation, you're in the flesh. Let's go a little further. 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is an idiot. Oh, will be a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat it on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Whoa. And what? Great was its fall. See, the rains came. The flood here tested where you're at. Your foundation and your relationship will be tested. Let's go to Revelation 12 while we're here. What do you mean why we're here? Yeah.
Well,
we're in the Bible. The word of life is worth the drive, right? Revelation chapter 12. The flood and the fire are the two rains. The former and the latter rain. Verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness of her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time, from the presence of the serpent. I really believe the two wings are Moses and Elijah, but I'm not going to get into that tonight. So the serpent spewed what? Water out of his mouth like a what? Flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. How many know that the devil's trying to carry you away by the flood? How many of you have seen people get carried away by the flood? I mean, just in the last couple of weeks, you might have saw somebody get carried away by the flood at your job. Hello? Let's go on. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. Are you the rest of her offspring? Yes. Who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It says, who keep the commandments of God and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So you may wonder why the ungodly sometimes prosper. Just said it right here. Because he's after the what? Those who keep the commandments and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's already got the other ones. He's coming after you. Does everybody understand? This is the flood of the serpent, which comes and is coming even stronger. It's continuous. And God will use it to test you. How many of y'all, the Bible says that God does not tempt you, but who does? The serpent. In this flood, we must fight and ride it. Ride it. Hello? You must learn how to ride the flood and fight the flood. Because what are you coming against? The powers of darkness. See, you've got to come to a place where you face the devil face to face. You can't keep running from him. He'll outrun you. He'll constantly steal, kill, and destroy everything you have. You may think you're prospering financially, but are you prospering spiritually? See, he'll sway you right to another area. He'll let you prosper financially and materially. Why? It's because he knows he's got your eyes off of Jesus. Oh, you'll give glory to God, but you won't get thirsty and hungry anymore. You'll become dull, dull of hearing. Your focus will be more on work, family, finance, savings. All of these other things your focus will be going on now. All of a sudden you're wondering why you're not growing. You become lukewarm. You become what? Lukewarm. The Bible warns us about becoming lukewarm. When you used to worship and love to get in God's presence, you become compromising, complacent, lazy. You don't run to God's presence anymore. You run to the corner store. You run to the video shop. Why do you think they call it Blockbusters? Go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Don't, it's okay if you feel God's talking to you. He is. And if you don't think he is, you better repent. He's talking to all of us, isn't he? And Psalm 18, start at verse 1, please. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my what? Enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the what? Floods of ungodliness made me afraid. Now, it wasn't that he was afraid. It was that he reverenced the Lord, because all the ungodliness that was around him, he did not want to be taken in it. Are you hearing? The sorrows of Sheol or hell surrounded me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. See, this is where you know whether you are in relationship with the king or not. Because when ungodliness begins to come around you, your focus is not on the ungodliness, it's on the God. And you begin to cry out to him, Lord, protect me from that which is around me. Lord, don't let me walk into the snare of my enemy. See, this is where God tests you. You're either going to step in with the ungodly, and the Bible says, have no fellowship with them, right? With darkness. That's what the Bible tells us, that bad company corrupts good habits. See, you're going to either fall into that and laugh along right in. Did you ever go somewhere where somebody tells a dirty joke and everybody's laughing around you? Then you see the believer going, ah. What are you laughing at that garbage for? You're to stand, not get sucked in. You're to be the light in exposing that darkness. By you not cooperating with it or falling into it, will bring great conviction on them. Does everybody understand? That may save their soul. In verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled. Why? Because he heard his prayer. He cried out to him. Why? Because of the ungodliness that was around him. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. The foundation of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and a devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind, and he made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The floods of the ungodliness. That's the flood of the serpent. Are you hearing me? See, we see it all over and increasing, enticing to move individuals out of position. But I'm telling you, God is allowing the flood, because the Bible says all things will work to the good, to move his people into position. See, because if the fear of God is truly there, it's going to cause you to get in position. If the fear of God is not there, it's going to cause you to get out of position. That's what the flood does. Everyone say, the flood causes the righteous to get in position. Oh, praise God. Yeah. Go to Isaiah 44. So you're being persecuted? Are you in position? Praise God. It's going to cause you to get in position. Isaiah 44. In verse 2. Isaiah 44 and verse 2. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, just Ryan, whom I have chosen. And I will what? Pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. He's going to tell you what he's talking about now. And I will what? Pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows of the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's, and the other will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand the Lord's and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God. And whom can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Now listen, this is powerful because now he's talking about the flood of revival. He's talking about this flood that's going to come. See, God, the devil always tries to duplicate what God's going to do. So when revival comes, a flood of the enemy comes. What does the flood do? It puts people in position to receive the strength of God. That's why revivals broke out right now. But if you look, the flood of the enemy is great, isn't it? See, so this flood is the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand? The Lord says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always prepare you for the enemy's attack. That's why those who are in worship and in fellowship and underneath the anointing are going to ride the flood because they're going to be filled. They're going to surf it. And they're going to walk the beaches and take those who've been beached because they were beaten by the flood. Are you hearing? Now go to Matthew 3. Oh, he's so good to us. It's too bad so many turn away. If they only knew how good he was and how good he is. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. And John the Baptist says, now we're talking about the flood and the what? Fire. These are the two rains, aren't they? In verse 11 it says, and John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the flood, and the what? And the fire. Do you understand that? He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit, representation of the flood and the fire. Now go to Malachi 3. Is God pouring out His Spirit right now? You know it. Is the flood of the enemy out there? You know it. If you don't, you know it now. Better know it before you get caught up in it. And if you're caught up in it, you better get out of it quick, before it takes you further. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and I will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. Now Levi represent priests, and we are known as the priests of the Lord. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, and against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they did not fear me, says the Lord. For I am the Lord, I do not change. He is the Lord, and he what? Does not change. So we see that he's going to come. That's why everybody wants to kill the messenger, you know? So as you begin to declare the message and tell the truth, and as the Lord begins to use you, be careful because they're going to want to kill you. They always want to kill the messenger, but that's okay. Praise God. At least you're dying for a good cause. So understand that we're talking about the flood and fire. We see that the fire here is now the purifying. Now I want to share something very important with you, because not only does the flood of the position, because we know that the Bible tells us that it's the flood of the enemy. We know God destroyed the powers of darkness in the and mankind, because they were so demon possessed with Noah, with the flood. And we know the flood is the beginning and the fire is the end, because God destroyed mankind with the flood in the beginning, and he's going to destroy everything with the fire at the end. But there's something important I want to share with you in this, because we also talked about the latter and the early rain, the former rain, right, and the latter rain. So what we're talking about here is the rain, which represents the flood and the fire. But in this flood also, God is pouring out his spirit. And in this, it is a representation of oil. Now, I've shared already that the Bible says that God will, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water, but he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the flood, but what's he flooding you with? He is flooding you with his oil. His oil. Why? Because the scripture right now, and the time that we're in and the season that we're in, is talking about Matthew 25, where it talks about the 10 virgins and the 5 virgins that were wise and the 5 virgins that were foolish. Why? Because the wise ones maintained the oil and stayed filled with the oil. And it's important. Why? Because oil feeds the fire. But of course, we know that the flood positions and the oil refines. Many people are getting out of position, but the flood is positioning, isn't it? It's repositioning others, aren't they? So we see this as refining fire. In other words, preparing us for judgment. Why? Because judgment begins in the house of God. So the flood tests and the fire judges. The flood positions and the fire purifies. Would you turn to Luke 12, please? Luke 12. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't God good all the time? Luke chapter 12 and verse 47. Let's read this together, please. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So we see here that on this, in Luke 12, in verse 47, he's talking about a servant, isn't he? Why? Because it's refining, isn't it? And listen, for much is given, much is what? Required. Let's continue. And Jesus says what? But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. Verse 48. For everyone to whom much is given, for him much will be required, and to whom much shall be committed, of him they will ask the more. And Jesus says, I came to send what? Fire on the earth. And how I wish, or I pray, it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, 5 in one house will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law, and against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And we see here that this fire not only divides, purifies, but also convicts. And you know, one of the things that happened to me when I was going to jail, you know, because every time Jesus showed up somewhere, division came. And why? Because he was exposing. Every time Jesus showed up, he exposed. See, fire also does exposing. See, to be purified, you must be exposed. You know, people are crying out, oh, we want the fire of God. We want the fire of God. Well, let me tell you, God wants to give you his fire. But, you know, some people can't handle the fire because they get too exposed. One of the things that the fire does is help you come to the end of yourself. The more that you come to the end of yourself, the more the anointing will increase. Are you hearing me? See, so even Jesus' desire was to send a fire to the earth. Why? Because he wanted to baptize you with the Holy Spirit of oil and the fire of God. Oh, hallelujah. See, when you are purified, when God purifies you, if you were to take gold and purify it, it actually becomes transparent. So God wants us to be transparent. And that means you must come to the end of yourself. So now that you carry the oil and the fire, or you're talking about the flood and the fire, because of this, where you go, exposure is going to be manifested. Because judgment comes in the house of God, so you're being judged. And by you being judged, you're being convicted, you're changing, you're being purified. Why? Because you're going to be transparent. So the more transparent you are, Christ can be seen through you. So everywhere you go, Christ is being seen through you. People didn't even know why. All of a sudden, there's conviction coming to them. All of a sudden, they're beginning to see their own garbage. And why? Because you're just carrying the presence and the fire of God on you. Turn to Psalm 97, please. Psalm 97. The flood and the fire. Yeah. The latter rain. Glory in the former rain. Love it. Psalm 97. Is everybody there? We're going to start at verse 1. I'm going to ask everybody to read this together with me. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. What's the foundation? Righteousness in what? Justice. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies around about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. So we see here that the fire goes before him. Why? To purify. To purify. Listen, you want to get closer to God? You got to be sanctified more. You got to be consecrated more. Why? Through the blood and through the fire. Are you hearing me? See, the flood positions, the fire purifies. So when the flood comes, it gets you back in position. When the fire comes, it purifies you. Why? So you can become more transparent and in his image and likeness. That's why fire goes before the Lord. What's it going to burn up? All the garbage. All the garbage. So don't run when the fire comes. Run to him, not away from him. Amen? Turn to Jude 5. Jude chapter 5. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus is a consuming fire? What's he consuming? Everything that's against him and unrighteous. Jude chapter 5. Thank you, my Lord. It's a book before Revelation. Jude 5. Jude verse 5. I'm sorry, there's only one chapter. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Jude 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of the what? Eternal fire. We know that that's the lake of fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not understand or do not know. And whatever they know naturally, in other words, they don't understand the things of the Spirit. That's why many people always speaking evil of the move of the Spirit. You know, there's revival breaking out and people always, those religious spirits always come against the things of the move of the Spirit. Oh, they're doing all kinds of works for Jesus, but they don't understand the deep things of God. So they'll come against it. They speak against it. Is everybody with me? I'll read this again in verse 10. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know or understand, and whatever they know naturally, because they can only see naturally. Like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. In other words, they're always promoting themselves because of their works. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up for their own shame, wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Ooh. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. That's us. To execute judgment and all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now we know that this is judgment day. And like I said, God returns with what? Vengeance of eternal fire. So it's our responsibility to stay filled with the oil of God, stay positioned, and let the fire of God stay lit in each and every one of us. Go to Revelation 20. The two rains are what? The flood and the fire. God's judgment and God's presence. God's judgment and God's presence. Why? The flood represented a pouring out of the Spirit, right? That's presence for purifying, refining, giving you more power. See, the more of Him, the less of you, the more power, the more flow of the Spirit. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's why John the Baptist did a wonderful thing. When Jesus showed up, he said, man, I got to decrease that he can increase. And the first thing that happened to John is he went to jail when Jesus showed up. So you got to put yourself in jail, in prison, yourself. And the next thing that happened is his head got cut off. And you got to cut off your own carnal head so that Christ can reign. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7. Now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is at the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And what? And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be there tormented day and night forever and ever. Ooh, the eternal fire. And Matthew 24. Matthew 24. In verse 36. But the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as it is in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, he's not just talking about man and woman. Hello? Look at what's going on right now. Look at how many states have authorized same-sex marriage. Not paying any attention about it. Just, oh, yes, it's fine. God did not create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. It's a terrible thing for a child to grow up to think mom is dad and dad is mom. Talk about confusion. Then they go out into the secular world and they see other people and they don't even know how to operate in a family. I mean, come on, after Adam's fall and Eve's fall, we started with a dysfunctional family, right? Why make it worse? So he says here that they were, oh, I'm giving in marriage and it's fornication. They didn't acknowledge the flood. In fact, the first flood came and it says that even their imaginations were constantly wicked. And they did not know until the flood came and took them away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. then two men, hello, will be in the field, and one will be taken, and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and one, another left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not know. James 5. There is two teachings that have been put together. One is called Spiritual Blindness. There's four CDs in here. And the other one's called The Second Coming. I encourage you, if you want to get more in depth on it, they're over on the table, and there's an arsenal over there. In James chapter 5, in verse 16, he said, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for three and a half years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if any among you wander from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. What is he saying? Be opened. Be humble. Confess your sins. Doesn't mean you go around and tell everybody that you're, you know, what you're doing. But sometimes you just got to sit down and confess your sin. You confess your sins to the Lord. You don't need to go to no anywhere. I won't go there. There's no confessional box here, okay? Your confessional box is your prayer closet. But there's sometimes you need to let somebody know. Sometimes you just need to talk to somebody. That's where you go get counsel or whatever. Because you haven't been able to shake it yet. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Praise God. Hosea chapter 10, and we'll close here. The flood and the fire! That's where we're at, man. Hosea 10. I believe it's verse 12. Would you read this with me? Just one verse here. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Remember, there's a teaching called the flood before the rapture. This will continue until it's time to go home. There'll be floods. There'll be periodic times of flooding. If you look through the nation right now in our country, there's tremendous floods all over the place. There's a lot of places that are considered national disasters now. You know, states are in national disaster. It's because of floods. See, what you see happening in the weather here and globally is happening in the spirit realm. Earthquakes. We have been in the birth pangs, what they call the beginning of birth pangs or the beginning of sorrows. The next event is tribulation and then great tribulation. We're almost done with the beginning of sorrows. This is where we're at. It's happening. There is no mistake. There's no falsifications. We are not only in the last days, we're in the last minutes. Why wait to judge yourself before God? Judge yourself today. Let him judge you. Where are you at? What am I doing? What am I touching? Am I truly right before God? Am I really honest with myself and honest with God? Am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I seeking? Am I learning? Am I being trained up, or am I just playing religion? Do I feel good because I go to church or Christmas or Easter or Ash Wednesday? Better be careful. a very serious time right now. Many are falling. And many are getting sucked up in religiosity, tradition, fame. Never judge anybody about material or how many people or anything to that degree. You judge by fruit. You judge by fruit. And you better judge. Amen. You must judge the fruit of individuals. And I'm not talking about going around and telling everybody, hey man, you this and you that. No. Remember, God, the judgment of fruit is to protect you. And then when God tells you to share something, you do. It's to protect you. The early and latter rain is the flood and the fire. And we need the flood of the Spirit and the fire of God. So we can slide through this, surf it, whatever we got to do, and turn around and fight and rescue those who've been taken by the flood. It's a very serious time. Now, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you keep us, expose us, empower us, fill us, that we may overcome the flood of the enemy and rescue your people. Again, Master, keep us like-minded with your Spirit, which will keep us like-minded with each other. Let the unity of your Spirit have prominence in each and every one here, Lord. Keep us plugged in. Lord, grant us discernment when we begin to drift. And keep us accountable to you and to those you've put over us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.